This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure.
They seized Jesus and led him away and took him to the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. A servant girl recognized him and said, "This man was with him." But Peter denied it. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, yet another person exclaimed, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." And again Peter replied, "I do not know what you are talking about." Just as he uttered those words, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered what the Lord had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Peter's betrayal of Christ is an important part of the Lord's Passion and was remembered by the earliest Christians in Jerusalem. Today, the Church of St. Peter of Gallicantu, Latin for "the place where the cock crowed," stands on the slopes of Jerusalem's Mount Zion, on the site where Jesus was believed to have been imprisoned by the high priest Caiaphas. Though the actual church dates from 1931, built by the Assumptionist Fathers, it was constructed over the ruins of a 5th-century shrine and rises above a series of crypts and chambers carved out of rock in the very first few decades after Christ's crucifixion.
In Gallicantu means "at cock's crow." And we recall that our Lord predicted that Peter would deny him three times before the cock crows. And this church, as a matter of fact, commemorates that event. If you look at the Porta Santa in St. Peter's Basilica, the door used for access during Jubilee years, during Holy Years, there is one frame that is the conversion of Peter, it's called, the Conversio Petri, the turning of Peter. And St. Luke does this in a very touching manner. He says that at Peter's betrayal, he turned and he saw the face of Christ and wept. And it's the converting look. It's Peter turning, seeing Jesus, and in that instant, realizing the terrible horror of what he had done. If we want to contrast the persons of Judas and Peter, both of them committed horrendous sins. But the difference, and both of them were intensely sorry. Judas's sorrow ends in an act of despair because it's not turned toward Christ. It's turned toward the self. "I'm sorry for what I did, but I don't go to the right source to deal with the problem." So his ends in the despairing act of suicide. Peter's sorrow turns outward toward the only one who can help us really deal with guilt, and that's Christ. And as a matter of fact, it's transformative. His sorrow is brought to a completion in a renewed relationship with Christ, which we find depicted at the site of Tabgha, where Jesus appears to Peter after the resurrection and commissions him to be the substitute shepherd, we can say, for the church. Now, people today at times have some unrealistic expectations of ecclesiastical leaders. while they themselves feel quite comfortable sinning on a regular basis and having access to the sacrament of penance whenever they want it, which is good, they somehow think that simply by virtue of sacramental ordination or episcopal consecration that a man loses his humanity or somehow he becomes subsumed into Christ's divinity. And they're uncomfortable with sinners leading the church. But what's fascinating about this is that, as a matter of fact, in that Easter commissioning of Peter to be the substitute shepherd, Jesus asks Peter, "Simon, Peter, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Simon, Peter, do you love me more than these?" "Yeah, but..." And then even dumb Peter gets it. He was asking this three times. Could that be a reason? "Oh, I denied him three times." So yes, the triple denial is undone by a triple profession of love. But then there's something that's very interesting that follows. Precisely within the context of reminding Peter, painfully, one must imagine, of his horrific sin, Jesus then commissions him to be the rock of the church. "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Jesus is not uncomfortable in having imperfect ministers run his church. Now, that's not to say, fine, then go sin all you want as a priest or a bishop or anything else. But it is important to appreciate the fact that one's personal sinfulness does not impede one from, as a matter of fact, doing the pastoral work of the church. Admittedly, the goal must always be that there's a complete as possible, as humanly possible, consonance between one's personal life and one's public vocation. But at the same time, it's just good to put this in a little bit of perspective. And again, to go back to this healing look of Jesus that's able to convert all of us, and all of us, as a matter of fact, are in need of daily reconversion. Conversion is not a one-shot deal. This is one of the mistakes made so often by fundamentalists, that I gave my life over to Jesus 20 years ago, I said the sinner's prayer, and everything is hunky-dory since then. It's not. It's Jesus tells us in Luke's gospel that we must carry our cross daily. Luke adds the word daily. And if it's a daily carrying the cross, it's also a daily asking for the grace to be able to carry the cross, and a daily asking for forgiveness when we fail to do that.
And a warm thanks there to Father Peter Stravinskas, a noted scholar and author and editor of the Catholic Response.